Madam, please, President.
Please, President.
You want to stand up? Change your mind?
First, I want to thank God for this day clean. You know, God has a very funny sense of humor. And I say that because, like, I was at a group's anniversary last night. And I left the meeting, riding home, and the self-centeredness of me says, well, ain't nobody never asked me to do an anniversary meeting. Right? So I go home and say a prayer and thank God for that day clean, you know. And I was at work, and my phone rang, and I really not supposed to use my phone, but I seen Amber Reed's name came up, right? So I said, I better answer it, right? So I'm riding through this, I don't know where I'm at, like right now, I don't know where the hell I'm at now. I know I'm in Southern or somewhere, you know what I mean? So anyway, you know, I answered the phone, and it was Amber Reed, and she says, homie, Woody, what is your plans for tonight? I'm like, and the way she was said, I'm like, I don't know why, what's going on? She says, would you like to share an anniversary meeting to be a speaker? I says, yeah. And I hung the phone up. I said, okay, God, I hear you. And it's always an honor and a privilege for anyone to ask me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. Regardless, it's at an anniversary meeting, convention, detox, you know, it's always an honor. And I always give thanks for God. I'm understanding for it. You know, I was listening to Anne Marie sharing, and basically, a lot of her story is similar to mine, except I didn't come in here, no, 23 years old, you know what I mean? But I came in here in utter desperation. I didn't come in here because I ate too many chocolate chip cookies. None of that stuff. You know what I mean? I came in here because I knew I had a drug problem. Because the things that I was doing wasn't normal. And, like, you know, not taking a bath for about a month. Not keeping a job, you know what I mean? And walking the streets not aimlessly, not knowing where I'm going or what to do, and, you know, the neighbors looking at me strangely, and, you know, mom looking at me in disgust. And so I knew I had a problem. I was in and out of detoxes, and I heard Anne Marie said something. You know, I only have one white key tag. I went to jail. I was on death row for a couple months. No. Spencer didn't kill anybody. They ain't had nowhere for my little black behind to be at, so they stuck me on death row for a while. And thank God for that, because there I had a moment of sanity. You know, I had, for the first time, you know, during the times that I was in and out of jails, I didn't care what my cellies thought of me. I was on my knees and asking God or somebody to help me. And, these guys came, I'm originally from Wilmington, Delaware. So these guys came all the way down to Delaware from Philadelphia to interview. And it was a room full of guys, about this many people in the room. And he'd interview them, different people, and he's saying, well, son, would you like to go to Philadelphia? I said, yeah, because I showed him my track marks. I need help. You know, I need help with my drug problem. He says, all right, go in the next room and wait. We'll call you if we need you. Well, if you're in jail, and somebody says, pack your bags. You just don't tootle around, you know what I mean? You ain't packing nothing. You out, right? And he told me to go in the room, and he called me back, and I'll tell you how the disease affects us. He called me back. He says, Mr. Spencer, since how soon can you pack your bags and go to Philadelphia with us? You and two other guys has been chosen out of a room like 400 people more, right? First thing I said, oh, nah, man, I can't go because I got a job waiting for me. My son needs me, right? You know, all these excuses I had came up when God says, here, I got help for you. So I had a moment of sanity, and I thought about it real quick. He said, you can either do this or you can do that. And I looked back in the room where all them, you know, them guys, some guys look like girls, and I'm like, you know, I'm going with you. So that's when my journey started. You know, I was brought to a facility here in Philadelphia in Kensington, at Second and North in the hearts of things. I didn't want to be there. I could have left any time, but I knew that, you know, every time that I had a plan of doing something my way, it always turned out that I'm in a detox or in jail with a needle in my arm. So, you know, I stayed, you know, and thank God for H&I. I had heard of H&I, and I have heard of Narcotics Anonymous back in the early 80s. I remember manipulating my mom and telling her, Mom, can I get the keys to the car? Because I want to go to one of them meetings. And she knew about those meetings because my brother had been clean. She said, sure, baby, here. And she gave me the keys. And when I went to the meeting, I seen a basket being passed around, and they started talking about God. I said, oh, no. But my intentions anyway was to get one more. I wasn't there to get no meeting. You know, I wanted to use the car to go get high. And that's what I did. It wasn't my time. And when my time did come, man, like, look, I was in this facility. It was at Second and Norris. And not from Philadelphia. I don't have no family in Pennsylvania at all, right? So I knew nothing about no subways, no L's, no trolleys, no hacks, no taxis, none of that. They ain't got none of that crap down Delaware. They just got a bus and a taxi, right? So when I got here, there was no excuses for me not to make a meeting. I could fall right out of the facility and I was in a meeting. So there was no excuses that this addict could not make a meeting because I had heard that those who make meetings regularly stay clean. I didn't want to shoot no more dope, man. I was done. There was times that I had stuck a needle in my arm and still didn't want to shoot that shit in my arm. But I did it anyway, to hide the pain and the guilt and the shame that I caused on my family and neighbors, man. And I stayed in that rut, you know what I mean? And thank God for this program, I am free. Now, it takes a lot to stay free from this. It takes a lot of work to stay here, a lot. This ain't a program that it comes by osmosis. This is not a sexually transmitted disease. It's not. You got to come in here and do some work, right? My clean date is February the 27th for 1990. I've been clean over 25 years and 3 weeks. Unbelievable. I even say it to myself, I get chills. Like an addict like me could stay clean over 25 years through all the trials and tribulations that I've been through, and there are members in here that know that I've been through some stuff. Stuff. The things that y'all talked about in this basic text talks about in more reveal. That we'll find ourselves losing loved ones, death of loved ones, homelessness, joblessness, pennilessness. First Step tells us we have to stay clean, no matter what. First Step also tells us that, look, we have to do some of the things that we don't want to do to stay clean. So I bought into this. They say you can't grasp a new idea on a closed mind. Look, I came in here with my mind open a little bit. Look, I used to go to a meeting down in North Philly, 16th and Gerard. Used to be the largest meeting. You can fill this room up with addicts. Smoking in there, mice running around, roofs falling apart. But addicts were staying clean. And addicts was talking about things that they was going through. Like, you know, because we need to see evidence. Because a lot of us don't believe this don't work. So I had to come in and I had to see the evidence. It was working in other addicts' lives. But I go back some now. I had a brother that I'll get to in a minute. I had a brother that had been in the depths of hell with me. But he came up out of that. And he was clean for a couple of years before I got here. right? So when I go to these meetings, I'm starting to hear people sharing about some things that they found their wives in the bed with their husbands, house on fire, all kinds of stuff. And I was like, I'm the newsy at it. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, dude's still here. He talked about he wasn't going to use and the house caught on fire. Mm-hmm. All right. Something is working. It says it. Something happens in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that's unexplainable. Look at us. Look at us. The neighborhood's a little safe. All y'all asses in here. You know what I mean? So something must be working for us. Why give this up? Why give this gift up? And it, you know, it frustrates me and it hurts me when I see addicts, you know, that like, you know, go out and they come back in, they go out. But I understand now, because everybody don't get this for the first time. Everybody don't get it. I got it. Thank God I got it. So, you know, I was making meetings all over the city of Philadelphia, and I was doing what y'all told me to do. You know, I got a sponsor, you know, I got involved in service, and I speak about being in service early in my recovery, and this, you know, if I started saying things out of the basic text and it offends anybody in here, call your sponsor. So I started, like, reading this literature, I got a sponsor. And, you know, and y'all told me that those who make meetings regularly stay clean. Service will help you get another day clean. Now, you're looking at an addict that wasn't entrusted with a dollar to go get a roll of toilet paper. My mom said, boy, here's $2. Go get me the 2 rolls of toilet paper. I come back. She says, where's the change? It was no change. But where's the toilet paper? They ain't have it. So I could get one more, man. And so when I got here with 60 and 30 days clean, man, y'all fresh out of jail. You looking at a fella, a forger. I'll forge everybody's check in this joint. But I got here with 30, 60 days clean, man, and y'all gave me some money in an envelope and said, go buy some coffee and some sugar and some cream. Me? And I did what y'all told me to do, because I wanted to stay clean. And I went to the store, and I got the coffee, and I got the sugar and the stuff, and the cookies and stuff. I was like proud, because y'all trusted me. I'm a trusted servant. Mm-hmm. I came back and made the coffee and set it up my way. Who made the coffee? I did. Man, that's some good coffee. That made me feel a part of something. I'm like, damn, they like my coffee. Don't mess the spoon up, buddy. But I kept coming. And when they told me to, I had to give it up, man, I was hurt. Because that was, you know, I look forward every Friday night to get there to make the coffee and stuff and be in control with the cookies and the spoons and shit. But I kept coming, you know what I mean? And I kept coming and addicts would take me places and introduce me to people. My sponsor was introducing me to people and I started feeling really a part of it. I was standing on Broad Gerard one day and I'll never forget it. And somebody drove by in the car and said, yo, Spencer! I'm like, damn, somebody knows me. I ain't had to do anything but to show up. I had to tell no silly jokes. I had to go run, do some stupid stuff. You know what I mean? All I had to do was to show up. And all of us in here, well, I speak for me. All we did is we come in here and all we wanted is to be loved. That's it. Love and acceptance. Now, I know everybody ain't going to accept my little black ass. I'm all right with that shit. I am. You know what I mean? I've done some work on me. I like who I am. You know what I mean? Some days. But, I just kept making meetings, and I start getting involved in this thing. And, you know, and if you're new, welcome, man. Give yourself a break. You know what I mean? And I love this thing, man. And they tell you, You know, I've seen a young lady in here today, man, that, like, I hadn't seen her over 9 years. She told me it's been 9 years. I'm like, damn, I remember she ain't had, I guess, I don't know, 6, 9 months. I don't know. And she's telling me that, you know, she's a productive member of society in which she's doing her job. I'm like, damn, this thing works. Mm-hmm. We, you know, Narcotics Anonymous don't promise us that we're going to get a job, a fancy car, gold. You know, when I got here, you know, I was enthused about the gold chains. It was like Mr. T starter kits. You know, Jokers was walking around with beepers. Yeah. You know what I mean? I felt I went and bought me a beeper. It had a damn person to call me. I used to walk around and press the damn thing to make the beeper sound right. Go beep. They'd say, "Fool, ain't nobody calling you." I just wanted to feel important. That's all. And I go to the thrift store and I buy me some clothes and I put them on. I did the jailhouse press, put the jeans in between the mattress and stuff, and get a crease on them. I get to a meeting, you know, I'm like a peacock. I'm proud, right? Hey, y'all wasn't impressed with what I had. Only thing y'all was impressed that I kept coming. That's it. Just said, "Spencer, just keep coming. We don't give a shit what you got on." And that's what I did. I kept coming. So, in time during the step process, you know, you talked about the amends, and, you know, I was just sharing with somebody the other day. The reason why I do this is that, you know, I don't want to go back to the hells of active addiction. Also, I don't want to see the pain that I remember so dearly from my mother's face when she told me to get the hell out of the house. So I don't want to experience that look on my friends. Also, I got a 4-year-old who calls me up every once in a while and says, "Hey, Papa." You're my granddaughter, my youngest one. And my grandkids or my son or my daughter-in-law never seen their pop-pop, their dad, or their father-in-law views. So I stay here. You know, and go through what I go through. I come in here, some folks in here who knows me, I come in here, I will share whatever it is I need to share. I will. It's funny how we come in here and we talked about we don't trust nobody. Let me tell you, I used to go from Wilmington, Delaware to New York City, right, just to get one more. Only to go, and it was a 3-hour ride. Only get to Wilmington and say, "Damn, we need some more," and go back again, right? That's 6 hours on the road, 9 hours on the road, right? But I used to go to this place. This guy's, he had this abandoned high rise, right? Something you see on New Jack City. It was crazy. But anyway, you put your money in a mayonnaise jar with a string attached to it, and he lowers it down from like the 12th floor. And you put your money in there, and you just stand there and watch your money go up, right? And you trust that he's going to put something in there, right? Now you got some trust, and you got some faith going on up in the mayonnaise jar. And, you know, and it comes down. So when we get here, we talk about that we don't trust nobody. You're the same people that I sit at the table with. Same ones. The same ones. You know what I mean? So, I know trust is something that we work on. You know what I mean? Faith is something that, you know, we basically try to work with. And they told me if as long as I had a mustard seed of faith, I'd be all right. So, when it was good when I went to the meetings of 16th Gerard, it was good for me to sit and listen to what was being said. It was good for me to hear what was happening here. Because they told me my time will come.